1 through 18. This is the story of Hannah, a woman who desperately wanted a child and could not conceive for a very long time. It was as painful a topic then as it is now. Infertility, miscarriages, and even the loss of a child, these are very hard things to talk about, and many people carry this pain alone. The most helpful thing that we can offer to a hurting friend is a listening ear, not to try to fix things, but to just offer acknowledgement of the pain. So listen for God's word to you today in this story of Hannah and consider the question, where does it hurt? This is the reading from 1 Samuel. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. And on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it went on year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazirite until the day of his death. He shall neither drink wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant you the petition you have made to God." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. This is the word of the Lord. So I've been thinking a lot about Simone Biles this week. If you've been watching the Olympics and following her story, maybe you've been thinking about her too. They call Simone Biles a GOAT. Not an animal goat, but the acronym, G-O-A-T, which means the greatest of all time. She's considered the greatest gymnast of all time, an achievement and a title that seems like a heavy burden, a burden that, as we saw this week, became too much to bear. I don't follow gymnastics really or even know that much about it, but I am definitely a Simone Biles fan, and I was really looking forward to seeing her land the Yurchenko double pike, her signature move, an incredible feat of strength and skill, and one of the many reasons she is called the greatest of all time. So it was really sad to hear the news about her struggles the first day of competition, and even sadder to learn that she dropped out of the team competition. But that sadness was transformed by Simone Biles' honesty and her vulnerability about her struggles. Her decision to step out of the competition may be the bravest thing that she's ever done. It may be the bravest thing that any athlete will do in the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Simone Biles put her own physical and mental health first, and she said no to all the pressure and the competition and the culture that tells her that she is only as good as the difficulty of her last routine, only as good as her highest score, and only as good as her gold medal count. Biles said she got the twisties in her last event. She lost her physical place in the air. She didn't know where she was, and she didn't know how to land safely on her feet. The twisties is such a good way to describe losing your place, not only in the air, but also losing your place mentally and spiritually. Don't you think Hannah also suffered from the twisties? And if you asked her, "Where does it hurt?" she might whisper, "Everywhere. It hurts everywhere." Hannah desperately wanted a child, but she couldn't conceive. Her husband's second wife, Peninnah, who had children, provoked her. That's what the text says. It says she provoked her and irritated her constantly. Her husband, Elkanah, dismissed her pain and made it all about him. "Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" Which was easy for him to say because he had children. And then when Hannah finally gets to pray at the temple, when she's deeply distressed, bitterly weeping, Eli, the high priest, sees her and assumes that she is drunk. So Eli mocks and shames her grief. How often does this happen to people who are suffering? How often do we make these kinds of mistakes when people are hurting and we unintentionally cause even more pain? The best way to help someone when they're hurting is to listen, right? Just listen. And that's what Hannah needs, someone to listen and to acknowledge her pain, because she is so alone, so alone. She's provoked, mocked, dismissed, and shamed. Finally, Eli does listen. After Hannah explains that she is not drunk, that she is in fact praying, Eli gets it at last. And then he listens, and that helps. That makes a difference. Long ago, in a church far from here, two women came to see me a few weeks apart. We met in my church office, and each of them explained their deep grief and sorrow on behalf of their adult children. They sat in the same chair, sharing basically the same story, and when I asked them if they had church friends with whom they could talk honestly about their pain, both of them said the same thing. "No one at this church could possibly understand my story. Everyone else has a perfect family, a normal family, a happy family." Church, do you think that was true? No. No one here has a perfect family or a normal family. Of course not. And hopefully we all have happy families, at least from time to time. But is your family always happy? No, mine is not either. Well, I could issue vague reassurances to these women that there were people in the church who were experiencing similar struggles. I could not tell them about each other. And then, thanks be to God, each one of them joined the same small group. And in the safety of that group, they told their stories and they found each other. They became friends and allies. They couldn't fix things for one another. They couldn't make it all better. But knowing that there was someone else out there suffering in a similar way helped. This is the true help that we offer to one another when we ask, where does it hurt? And when we have the courage to listen, to really listen to the answer. That is what Eli did for Hannah finally. And it helped. It eased her pain. 1 Samuel goes on to say, then Hannah went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. Being seen and heard eased Hannah's pain. Being seen and heard eased the pain of those two worried mothers, and maybe it did the same for Simone Biles. On Thursday of this week, she sent a tweet that said this, the outpouring of love and support I've received has made me realize I'm more than my accomplishments and gymnastics, which I never truly believed before. The outpouring of love and support I've received has made me realize I'm more than my accomplishments and more than gymnastics. When we are at our best, when we are truly serving as the body of Christ, when we ask one another, where does it hurt? And then we listen deeply for the answer, we have the opportunity to see and to hear and to help one another. We have the chance to help ease the pain and to bring some peace and a little bit of healing. And that's what we are all called to do. Amen.